to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Actually, this is kind of what started this series we've been doing. We've been teaching on living the overcoming life. And we're going to share some more on that this morning. But I'll tell you how the Lord got me started on this is whenever I was reading this book. I've read it I don't know if I read the whole thing through a couple times, but you know how it is. You get a little chapter on your heart, you read it, and probably read the whole thing a couple times. But this book called My Time in Heaven by Richard Segman, we had it as the book of the month back, 2 months ago or so, last month or something. And we found out some major, mighty things. You know, there's so many scriptures. When I read this, think of scriptures and things that the Bible says, and that's the way real true experiences really, really are. You can't just take anybody's experience going to heaven and say, oh, really, that's true. Well, if it's not in line with the Word. Amen. So the Bible says that there is a heaven, and the Bible tells us that we will go there. The Bible tells us a lot about it. But the thing I like about this book is it kind of connects this world and that world and shows how the two worlds work together. And when he was there, Richard Segman had this experience of being in heaven. He had quite a lot of experiences there, but one of them was whenever Jesus talked to him about his ministry. I want to read you this. This is on page 114, if you're making notes and want to go read it yourself. Maybe you don't believe, Pastor, I don't know, but you can go read it yourself. But page 114, he said this, "Now in my heavenly audience with the Master, Jesus said to me, 'I have called you as a prophet to the nations.'" I never knew this man and never knew of his ministry until I read this book. So apparently from what I have heard, he had quite a prophetic ministry. But Jesus said that to him in this vision. "I have called you as a prophet to the nations." In many ways, here's what stood out to me. When I read this, it snagged me. And I underlined it and all that. "In many ways," Jesus said, "you have succeeded," referring to what he had called him to do. You and I might not be called to a particular ministry office or something that somebody else is called to, but right on the other hand, what are we called to do? In whatever we're called to do, all of us are called to serve God. All of us are called to do something in the kingdom of God. All of us are called to the ministry of reconciliation. For example, all of us are called to the ministry of giving, the Bible says. All of us are called to helps ministry and so forth and so on. But whatever we're called to, let's apply this to our lives. Jesus said this to him, "I have called you as a prophet to the nations." That's particular about him. But whatever he's called you and I to, let's read the rest of this. "In many ways you have succeeded. And in many ways the evil one hindered and overcame you." In other words, in what he had called him to do, he had been having some success. In other words, he had been fulfilling what God had called him to do. You realize success in man's eyes is different than success in God's eyes. Man looks at success and says it always has to do with big numbers or big buildings or, you know, big name or something like that. Well, we always want to reach more people. I believe that's scriptural, you know. And we ought to be doing what we can to do that. But right on the other hand, success doesn't always automatically equal that. You understand? And so, but he said, here, "I've called you into this particular ministry," in his case, "and in many ways you have succeeded. In many ways the evil one hindered and overcame you." You know, you might look at that and say, well, bless God, Mr. Sigmund, why don't you just get with it and obey God? For the same reason that the enemy has overcome us in different areas. He doesn't have the authority to. Amen. He doesn't have the power to because Jesus defeated him, yet he does use devices and trickery and schemes and deceptions and lies and things to get us off track in what God has called us to. Amen. "In many ways, the evil one hindered you and overcame you." He said, "But fear not, I have overcome him." He went on to say some specific things to him. "I was there when you were born. I was there when you were 4 years old and the evil one tried to destroy you." Can't remember what it was. Oh, here it is, measles and scarlet fever. He had that at 4 years old. I believe it was that. But anyway, some things that the enemy tried to snuff his life out with. Jesus was there. But he said in many areas, Satan had overcome him. Well, how many of you know there's probably not a one of us that Satan hasn't in one area or another overcome us? at one time or another. Maybe not right now, maybe not in all areas, but at one time or another, something tripped us up. He threw us a curve and we went for it and missed, you know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, whether it be any of these things we've talked about, overcoming, you know, like just simply just being tripped up with offense or the lust of the flesh. You know, maybe it's condemnation. Just that hounding voice of condemnation. You know, you're not worthy. You're not accepted. You're not loved like everybody else in the church. You know, you're not as valuable, and you know all that junk. Maybe it's that Satan kind of just keeps on tripping you up, and it keeps on bringing that, and keeps on bringing that. You know, we might could look at somebody in another area of being overcome by something like, let's just say, condemnation, and say, I don't know why they don't get over that. Well, it's because it's on their doorstep every time they walk out the door in the morning, and it's not perched at your doorstep and my doorstep. It's just an area he finds in their life that they seem to be susceptible to. And he just keeps coming with it, just keeps coming with it. And you and I might not be susceptible to that, but in another area in our life, there's something else that he just keeps coming at us and just keeps digging at us and just keeps trying to get in there. But and you realize that whenever we keep being overcome by something, whether it's something like condemnation or, you know, bad self-image, not knowing who we are in Christ, or just keep on being taken out by sickness and disease, or it's just constant poverty. And it could be, we've listed, remember all these things we listed in some of these series? Fear, unbelief, you know, bitterness, unforgiveness. I've gone through seasons where things try to get into my spirit, you know, along certain lines, and I've got to beef it up during that season. And so whatever it is that is coming against us, we can overcome it. And to not overcome it, it neutralizes us, just like Jesus said to this man, it neutralizes us in fulfilling what he's called us to do. Do you know that somebody that's just constantly being overcome by condemnation, do you know that that keeps them from really stepping up and being the blessing that they really are? Yes, sir. Because the hounding voice of condemnation just keeps beating them down. Now, I can't be a blessing. I can't. That is something that you'll have to overcome, or else you'll stand before Jesus and you'll hear the same thing this man heard. In many ways, the enemy overcame you and hindered you. Do you see that? Hindered you and overcame you. Two words, hindered and overcame. I don't want to find out when I get to heaven that I was all hindered in an area that I didn't recognize down here on this earth. Yeah. Anybody with me? Yeah. And find out what I could have had and the blessing I could have been and the supply I could have been to my local church or whatever. Yeah. That's right. If I had just put my foot to that. Since we're on the condemnation one, let's just use that. Put my foot to that accusing voice that's always telling me, bringing up my past and reminding me of my failures and telling me how insufficient I am and all those things. Am I in the right room this morning? The blessing that we could be if we would put our foot to those things and deal with those issues would enable us to be a blessing to many others. Hey, I got a newsflash for you. We need you. We need you up. We need you overcoming. We need you because otherwise you are not going to bring a supply to bring the full plan of God in Eastern Iowa that God has planned for this church. That will not come to pass. We can't have you continually neutralized by sin. I'm not accusing people that are in that place. I'm simply saying, let's just keep on getting stronger and stronger and stronger to where that thing doesn't take us out like it has been. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be. How about distractions? Some people, they're just easily distracted. Where have they been? Where have they been, Ann? I don't know. Let's call them, find out. Oh, they got distracted by this, distracted by that. You know, their unsaved relative is in town and always keeping them from coming to church or something. You know, just how about just not being distracted, learning to be focused. It could be a thousand things. It could be just fear and unbelief and worry or, anxiety attacks. It just, I can't get into everything, but let's just be who we are, live up to who we are, and that is overcomers.
Yeah. Amen.
That's who we really are. Let's read some verses again. Remember we were reading some verses? 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God, which, how often?
Always.
How often?
Always.
Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Say, us means me.
Us
is the whole body of Christ, not just a few. There is victory in what Jesus did for us at the cross.
Yes.
And that means victory all the time to where we are always triumphant. I got an unction the other morning, and I started looking up some other translations, and I don't know if you're going to be able to stay in your seat on this. Listen to some other translations for always triumphant. New Life Bible says, he leads us and makes us win in everything.
Amen.
Everything. Everything. Against the lust of the flesh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Come on, that same old perversion that tries to come back into our life. We win over it. Because sin shall not have dominion over us. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Grace is the power to whip it. In grand style. Live free from that. Hallelujah. So he leads us, and that's the new life. He leads us and makes us win in everything. I like that about God. He's an always, all-sufficient, in every area, grace for everything, faith will get you through anything kind of God. Moffat says, wherever I go, thank God, he makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. Constant. Those are the words I'm wanting you to catch here. New Life said, in everything. Moffat said, wherever I go. Wherever I go, he makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. Constant. I'm constantly whooping it. It's not constantly whooping me. I'm constantly whooping it. When fear tries to get a hold of me, I'm always whooping it. Hey! Always, constant, every time, in everything. Laubach, Laubach, didn't even know it was out there, did you? Laubach translation, thank God who is giving us victory after victory. Victory, I like that. Victory after victory. And you could say after victory, after victory, after victory, after victory, after victory, after. And then after that, we still have victory. And then the next time, we have victory. And in that area, we have victory. And in this area, we have victory. And the other area, we have victory. Hallelujah. 20th century New Testament revised edition, in case you wanted to know which edition. Who, through our union with the Christ, leads us in one continual triumph. One continual triumph. Say continual. Praise the Lord. Are you getting the idea? Continuous. Always. Constant. In everything. Victory after victory. Now let's switch to Romans 8:37. We read that verse to you in the King James. You remember, again, I'll read that to you in the King James. That's very familiar to us. But it tells us that in the King James it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He had just listed a bunch of kinds of tests and trials, different areas that tests and trials come up. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Williams translation, yet in all these things, we keep on gloriously conquering. We just keep on. We just keep on, keep on, keep on. In this area, got the trophy. In this area, I won the victory. In this area, smashed them. In this area, crushed it. In every area. I like that. See, this is getting inside of some of you. God's an always kind of God. I'll read it again. And yet in all these things, talking about all these different areas of test and trial, in all these things, we keep on gloriously conquering through Him who loved us. We just keep it up. We just keep a coming. We just keep whooping it. Huh? We just keep bringing it to the devil. We just keep showing him to be the loser he is. We keep it up. We keep on a coming. Jordan. That's the Jordan translation. We keep out, we come out on top every time through him who set his heart on us. Every time. Somebody said, I'm getting it, Pastor. No, I want your heart to get it. I want it to get past just, okay, I got it in my head. I want it to become a living, breathing revelation that talks to you during the next time something slaps you. I want, we keep on winning every time to rise up out of your heart and smack you across the face and say, this is who you are. This is who you are. We come out on top every time through him who set his heart on us. There needs to be a defiance rise up on the inside of you. Every time he comes with fear or strife or something that you used to fall into, you say, uh-huh, I'm on to you now. And this time, you're just going to wish you hadn't have done it. Because I'm going to make you eat this. If it's condemnation, you whoop him with the word of God and send him with his tail between his legs. And the only word he hears whenever he runs away from you is always. Always triumphant. It's the last thing he heard when he ran out of earshot. We come out on top every time. All these verses bring up everything, everywhere, constantly, victory after victory, one continual triumph, gloriously conquering on top every time. Now, here's the WAY translation of Romans 8:37, W-A-Y. Yet amidst all this, all of this, you know, let me just read. Distress, tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all these things. That's what he means when he said, in all these things we're more than conquerors. So in the midst, WAY translation, in the midst of all this, we are the victors. And then he said, hey, more than victors through the might of him who loved us. And that's what we're going to spend some time on today, through that might, the power of his might. The WOOS translation of Romans 8:37, but in all these things, all of them, he preached it twice, in all these things, all of them, not just win some, lose some, in all of them, we are, this is my favorite, oh my goodness. Listen, are you ready? Got your shouting clothes on? In all these things, all of them, we are coming off constantly with more than the victory. We're just coming off with victory after victory and just more than victory. I mean, not only do we win the victory, we gain ground and he loses ground. Yeah. Not only do we win the victory, now we learn something and it ain't going to work on us anymore. Praise God. We keep coming off constantly with more than the victory. In other words, it's so often that it happens so much that every time he approaches us now, he's going, I'm going to try to put fear on him again, and we whop him with the word. We get the sword of the Spirit and chop his head off. Chop the head off fear, and he's like, ay. We keep coming off constantly with more than the victory. Now, let's go to 1 John 5:4. I'm talking about in our study here of this verse. 1 John 5:4, you remember it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Oh, come on. You ready for this? I don't know if I can stand myself. The Barclay translation. Barclay translation of 1 John 5:4, to be a child of God is to be victorious over the world. Just say it. Just say it. That's just, it just goes with it. Just goes with it. Yeah. It's just the way we roll. It's just who we are. It's the position we have. It's in our spiritual DNA. We just whoop things. Yeah, we whoop it. Yeah, we whoop bee stings and venom and allergic reactions. We whoop cancer. We whoop it. We whoop it. We whoop it. We whoop it. That's just being a child of God. It's no big deal. It's just the way it is. It's just we are superior in the spirit realm. We prevail. We just knock things out that try to stop us. We just steamroll over it and squish it. And it ends up like a dead bug, and we use strength out of it. And we go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and victory after victory. That's just the way we roll. That's just called being a child of God. Just saying. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't know how the daycare is succeeding and ours is failing. We had a man come one time, get real offended at us, real mad. He had to quit at his daycare because they couldn't pay the bills. Well, you know, he's mad at us because ours is succeeding. Just, but the way we roll, just the way we roll. Just the way we roll. Don't owe any apologies. It's just our position in the spirit realm. It's just who we are. It's in our DNA. We rise up and whoop things. Listen, this daycare is not succeeding because nothing has come against it. Ask Miss Katie, ask Miss Kimberly, ask, you know, some of these ladies that work here, Melissa, Jennifer, some of these ladies that are in more of the leadership positions. It's not succeeding because nothing's come against it. It's succeeding just because we just win every time. We've learned how to be always triumphant. The WUEST translation, W-E-W-U-E-S-T, of 1 John 5:4, to be a child of God is constantly coming off victoriously over the world. Praise the Lord. I think if we just read these verses and went home, we'd all get what we needed. Constantly coming off victorious. Weymouth of this verse, the victorious principle, okay, here now we learn how to do it. Here's the principle. Which has overcome the world is our faith. We've said every service, most all services, I think, that walking by faith doesn't mean nothing comes against you. It just means that you, really, it just means you have the force that enables you to always overcome what comes against you. Don't think that, well, I'll learn that faith walk and then the I won't have any more tests and trials, and the devil will roll over and play possum or something. He won't. He'll say, I'm going to test that out. I'm going to see if they're for real or not. But that shouldn't make you afraid, because the force of faith will whoop him. It's his kryptonite. It'll knock him out. It'll take him out. It just neutralizes him and makes you the victorious one every single time. So we should want to learn to walk by faith, shouldn't we? Hallelujah. But this force is not something that without God's spirit in you, you have. It came into you through the new birth, isn't it? The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, doesn't it? But I'm so glad God didn't stop there and put a period and say, here's a box of hankies. You know? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, we all suffer so much. No, he said, I'm quoting Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I'm living on the other side of that butt. You got to watch your butt. You got to stay on the right side of your butt. But, you see, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them.
All.
How many?
All.
Huh?
All.
I can't hear you.
All.
Huh?
All.
No. You win some, you lose some. Huh? Oh, come on. I mean, you got to be realistic. I mean, we're down here where the devil is, and sometimes, no, all.
All.
Every time. always coming off with the victory. Always coming off with the victory. Always coming off with the victory. You see, what this message does is it puts a spirit of faith into you. Yeah. Praise God. He delivers us out of them all. David was a faith man. He prevailed in faith, but he had to overcome Goliath. Isn't that right? Daniel, he's a faith man, walked by faith, won great victories. But you don't win great victories without something coming against you. He had to overcome the lion's den and the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to overcome by faith. They had victories by faith, but they had to overcome something. Isn't that right? Israel had to get out of Egypt by faith, but they had to overcome Pharaoh and overcome the Red Sea and overcome all the things that came against them. But that's the way we roll. That's who we are. Amen. You know, like Lillian B. Yeoman said, because she was a medical doctor, somebody asked her, what do you do to stay strong? And she said, I eat a daily, you know, they were asking about her diet. And she said, I eat a daily diet of giants. She said, it keeps me strong to keep on conquering and overcoming things. All right, I don't want it to be that way. I just want to be strong. You won't get strong without a daily diet of overcoming things and a daily diet of the Word and so forth and so on. Hallelujah. So those are good verses. Aren't they good verses? To be always victorious, though, is not automatic. You and I have got to recognize it's the byproduct of doing something that is necessary to live the lifestyle to always be strong in faith. Because he said the victorious principle is our faith. So it's just the byproduct of doing what's necessary to be always strong in faith. And that's what our series really is about. You remember 1 John 2:14, Paul wrote, or not Paul, but John, by the Spirit of God, of course, wrote to the young man there, and he said, you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Listen, whenever folks begin to come to Spirit of Faith, I tell Ann a lot, Pastor Debbie tells Ann a lot, and the people that help us in pastoral care, we have to help them out at the beginning because they're not strong. See, when you're getting a diet of religion and just little talks at church and little feel-good devotional books, that don't have the Word in them. The Word. John said, you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. The truth of God's Word abides in you. Well, then you come to a place like this, and you know you don't come strong. Very few. I'm just honest. I'm not putting you down. I was the same way. But very few of us came into this very strong at all. We was whooped by a lot of things. Just a lot of stuff. It took us out. Just little distractions, offenses, little wrong thoughts, you know, things that we should have been casting down with the truth of God's word. We were sucking in like the next breath of air we needed, you know. Just take it in. Whatever the devil says, we breathe it in and start taking it as truth or something. I'm preaching better than you're amening. Praise the Lord. It takes strength of spirit to be an always overcomer. Brother Hagin used to say that if he got attacked in an area of his life, like take physical, in his physical body, he said, although he knew the healing scriptures, you remember he got healed back there years ago, and he knew those healing scriptures, although he knew those scriptures, although he could quote them, and although he even preached them, yet whenever he came under attack, he would go back to those scriptures and go back over them again and feed his spirit on them. Because the memory of yesterday's meal doesn't make you strong today. Faith needs to be continual in order to stay strong. Notice he said, you are strong. To stay strong, faith has to be continually fed and continually exercised. Sometimes we reach for, you know, in other words, sometimes people, they when attacks come, because they know their Bible, because maybe they've been getting their mind renewed some, they know their Bible to a degree, sometimes the first things they do is just, you know, start rebuking and binding. But if you're in a weakened condition, it's not going to affect the situation like it should. And we'll talk to you a little bit about that. But are you getting anything out of this? It requires you, the kind of faith that makes you always triumphant is the kind of faith that is always kept strong. And that comes through the Word getting into a person. No wonder the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Because we are always coming off with the victory. Amen. We're always triumphant. Bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because we are to be continually prevailing. Continually whooping it. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice He didn't say His praise shall continually be on the radio. It's to be continually in your mouth. That's how you grow strong. Feeding your spirit and then continually expressing your faith. Well, you know, just so many tests and trials. I can't express my faith. Well, that's how you get strong. In the middle of tests and trials, you express your faith. Really, it's the greater one in you that's going to put you over in life, but you have to do what's necessary for Him to live big in you. He's in you, but He might not be living big in you. You can make Him live big in you by doing certain things. Constant victory is the result of two things. It's the result of removing the power of Satan from the scene and bringing the power of God on the scene. I don't know if you understand that, but I'm just simply saying basically it's the result of exercising authority. That's removing the power of Satan from the scene. And faith in God in prayer, that's bringing the power of God on the scene. You realize that it takes strength, spiritual strength, to do both of those. You know why people are quiet? Because they're weak. Their focus is on something else. Now we're talking about how to actually live in this always triumphant life, and it's not as many amens because, you mean I got to do something. Yeah, it doesn't happen automatically. Are we in the right room? And so it takes the strength of spirit to stand to stand against the enemy's attacks. Remember Ephesians 6:10? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand.
Yes, sir.
It takes strength.
Yes, sir.
Whenever there's pressure to get you to back up, to give in to doubt, to give in to whatever, you know, offense or unforgiveness or bitterness is trying to get on the inside of you, or the temptation of the flesh says, go ahead, look at that pornography or whatever. It takes strength of spirit to push that away and stand in a lifestyle that's pleasing to God and overcome it. It takes strength of spirit. It takes strength of spirit to do that. That's why He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice that the understood subject of that is you and me.
Yes, sir.
You and me are responsible to be strong. It's not up to God that we're strong or not.
Right.
It's not up. It's not His responsibility. It's our responsibility. Take John 14:27 there where it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's our responsibility. The understood subject is you and I. So whether we're strong or not is up to us. Am I preaching the word?
Yes, sir.
So it takes a strong spirit to lay hold on the power of God and bring it onto the scene. It takes a strong spirit to lay hold of the promises of God that belong to you and to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes, sir.
And so we read this, and I want you to go to this 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's get down into how to do this now. Would that be all right? I know people don't like all the... They just rather shout about, yeah, oh, He's triumphant, oh, yeah, yeah. But let's find out how to do it. Let's find out how to do it. We already found out it takes us to be strong in our spirit. See, we're not talking about physically strong in our bodies or just strong in our minds. Those things are God's will too, you understand. But we're talking about resisting things, temptation or pressure or the desire or the pressure to fear or to get into unbelief or worry about something, any of those things that we're to overcome, we're talking about the strength of spirit to overcome that and resist that. So have you found 2 Corinthians 4? Verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Say out loud, the inward man is to be renewed day by day. Amen. Just like you need food spiritually, naturally, day by day, you need that spiritually. And you need to exercise every day. I don't mean necessarily maybe lifting weights, but you can't be just, in bed. You need to get out, moving, walking, Or doing more if you want to. Praise God. Not my business. That's just between you and God. You understand? But what he's talking about is that our spirit man can be renewed just like our body can gain strength from eating again and taking in food. Now, let's ask a question. When we say renewed, what are we talking about when it comes to the spirit man? What's the difference between a renewed mind and a renewed spirit? Let's think about that. Because the Bible said, be transformed, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So there's that term concerning our minds. So what's the difference between a renewing of the mind and a renewing of the spirit? Like this verse says, the inward man is renewed day by day. Would you like to understand that?
Yes, sir.
First, remember that your spirit's been reborn and recreated. It has received the new nature, and the mind and the soul have not. Am I in the right room? And the mind and the soul have not. The renewing of the spirit is the edifying or the building up of the spirit man and the nature that's in him. Amen.
Amen.
That nature's already in there. For example, one of the things we overcome is the pressure to quit, to give in to the lust of the flesh, give in to unbelief or, to say, well, it's not going to happen. I stood in faith and just give in, Like throwing in the towel, quitting. But there's a force that came into our spirit at the new birth called patience.
Yep. Amen.
It's in there.
It's in there. That's right.
I said, it's in there.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you look up the word patience and it means endurance. It's just the refusal to quit. It's just the force of being constant. It's the same all the time. It doesn't change because it just nothing outwardly has changed. No, patience, remember through faith and patience we inherit the promises. So that force of patience is just the force that doesn't quit. Well, that's in you. That's one of the fruit of the born-again human spirit. But that needs to be fed. And it needs to be renewed day by day with food, spiritual food. And it needs to be exercised. Can you see what I'm talking about? And so, but the mind has not received the new nature. The spirit man has these things in it. The spirit of man has the love of God in it. It's in there. Tell your neighbor, maybe I haven't seen it for a while, but I know it's in there. Some of the spouses are laughing at one another. We'll just look straight ahead. But the force of love is in there, but it needs to be fed. It needs to be your spirit, everything that it's in your spirit needs to be edified. It needs to be built up. It needs to take something into it. The life of God needs to be constantly taken into that so it'll develop. The renewing of the mind is actually something different. The renewing of the mind is to replace old thoughts with the truths of God's word. The spirit man has nothing that needs replaced. The mind needs to have some new thoughts it's never had before because it's thinking in line with the flesh. I mean, when we first get born again. So it needs to be renewed. In other words, it means to replace old thoughts with new thoughts, old mentalities with new mentalities. The spirit man has nothing that needs to be replaced. It was born perfect, born with the nature of God, born with the nature of love in it. Born with faith in it, with temperance in it. Temperance is the force and ability to, it's called self-control. We have that in our spirits. That doesn't need to be changed out and changed with something else. That's already in there. But to renew the spirit doesn't mean to change something out. To renew the spirit means to edify and build up and feed what is already there. Hallelujah. Some of you got some answers. You got some help on the difference there. There's a lot more that we could get into, but just for time's sake, we'll just say that. And here he said, the outward man perisheth, but the inward man needs this renewal day by day. And listen, if he doesn't get it, he starts getting weak. And things that you used to be overcoming, now they're overcoming you. You know what it is in your life. I know what it is in my life. We'll stay out of each other's business. But it's true about all of us. Old things that we used to be bound with start coming back. Am I preaching all right? Now, Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Is that true? No, it's not that their strength is small. It's just that it was too big of a trial. No. Doesn't matter how big the trial is. If you have the strength of spirit that you needed in that situation, you won't faint. Now, what does faint mean? It could be a lot of things in a lot of different circumstances, but it could mean just simply giving in and doubting God. Rather than walking by faith in a situation, now you're doubting. It could be that you get discouraged. It could be you get stressed out, get worried, overwhelmed with worry. It could be depression. It could be, you just give in to the temptation of sin, if that's the circumstance. It could be that you now let wrong thoughts in that you once resisted. That's spiritual weakness. You know it as well as I know it. That's called spiritual weakness. When you get weak spiritually, you don't grab a hold of those thoughts and cast them down because you don't have the strength to do it. Quitting is weakness and fainting. Being impatient and giving up. Say, well, I'm going to do it my way. It takes God too long. You know, I've been believing for a mate for 3 whole years and nobody showed up. I'm going to just go out and find one, pick one, just whoever looks good. That's called fainting. Praise the Lord. Now, Pastor, you got left preaching and gone to meddling. Well, that's all right. And go to Philippians 4:13. Oh, there's so much to this. Philippians 4:13, we know this verse. I can do all things through Christ, period. Huh? Well, it's through Christ, isn't it? Yeah, but he qualifies what he's talking about. I can do all things through Christ, which or who strengthens me. What if you are not strengthened? Well, I'm in Christ, so I'm strengthened. Not automatically. No. No more than your body is automatically strengthened every day because you woke up. It needs certain things. So I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Amplified says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him. I don't know if I'm quoting this exactly, but something like this. Through him who infuses inner strength into me. Not talking about your body. Inner strength. Inner strength. Inner strength. He's talking about the strength of the inner man. It's called the spirit of man. You can have a strong body and a weak spirit. And when the tests and trials come, you whimper. You know, you whine, you curl up in a ball in the fetal position and hope it goes away. Weak. Tell your neighbor that's weak. Amen. So when Paul said, I can do anything or all things through Christ which strengthens me, he means any test or any trial that the enemy comes against me with, I can whoop it. I can whoop it. He's talking about living in a perpetual state of readiness for whatever the enemy throws at you. Always being ready, always conquering, always overcoming anything that comes. Wow, that can be done. That actually is possible according to that scripture. You can live in a perpetual state where you whoop everything. I know in the past, things have whooped us, and 3 years later we realize, wait a minute, that's where I opened the door to the devil. And we get back up and overcome it. But it can be that we are strong enough, sharp enough, and onto him enough through the word.
Amen. That's right.
You know, we're not ignorant because we have the word in it, that we catch it the moment it comes and go, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. In my life, the devil takes my legs out from under me less and less and less. It just doesn't happen like it used to happen. And I'm not glorifying myself when I say that. I'm glorifying the word that got into me that made me sharp. I'm on to him, and I'm strong. When he comes, I put it in his eyes. Take the word and pom. Gotcha. On to you. Amen. And you can do that and get stronger and stronger and smarter and smarter. But how could he do it? How could Paul do that? How could he always overcome anything? Through him who infuses inner strength into him. So Paul constantly overcame anything and everything that came against him because he continually was strengthened by the power of his might. Your spirit needs daily infusions of the life that it gets out of fellowship with God, times in prayer, feeding on the word, being still and knowing that I am God. Waiting on the Lord like we preached a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Am I preaching the right? Amen. In tests and trials, I need something to fill me up in my spirit. I don't need recreation. I don't need entertainment. I don't need some of those kinds of things. I need the greater one in me to rise up and be big in me. That's what I need. That's what I need. And if we're fainting and getting tired and worn out in our spirit, it's because our inner man's not being renewed. Do you know, folks, that if you are in a state, if you come to a test and trial and you find yourself in a state of, you know, just you weren't ready for that and you're weak and you're, do you realize that that can change? The Lord said this to me one time, you know, people are always into renewable energies and solar and all these, and I'm not against those. I like it. I'm starting to like some of that stuff. But my point is, this is the most renewable energy on the planet. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what it's talking about in 2 Corinthians. The inward man is renewed day by day. You can take in, the life of God came into you at the new birth. You were born of the Spirit, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. You believed the gospel message, took in the message of Jesus, and your spirit was recreated. But wait a minute. That same word that made you a new creation can be fed upon over and over and fed on, and that same presence that came in you can be nourished, and that greater one can rise up in you day by day and continually make the man who was born of the Spirit continually refreshed, continually strengthened. And it doesn't happen because you hear a sermon like this. It happens because you practice a lifestyle of waiting on the Lord, meditating on His Word, feeding on His Word. I mean, it just comes down to some of the simple, basic Christian disciplines that we hear about, you'll hear about in the Baptist church and any church you go to. And yet some Christians, I meet them, they don't do it. They just get up in the morning and get going. Well, in the evening, if that's fine if you do it in the evening, but sometime your spirit needs to be fed. Or you'll grow faint and things will start overcoming you. Tell me I'm preaching the right word here. You won't be able to stand strong against the devil weak or as an empty vessel. His devices, when he throws them at you, there's going to have to be something in you from God, something in you that's greater than you as a human being, something in you that rises up in the spirit realm and overcomes that. And nothing inherent in your humanity is there to do that. You're no match for the devil on your own. You're no match for him in your own physical strength or your wit and your brain. You're no match for him. He's cunning. He's divine. He'll trip you up. He'll knock you out. Amen. But with the greater one living big in you, and through fellowship with him, you're taking in of God's strength and you're getting direction. You're hearing from heaven, and he's saying, do this. He'll have you ready for anything and equal to anything. A man who walks in the Spirit and does this will be ready for anything that comes. Because God will get him ready. God will get him ready. Amen. I've had times where people left the church and the Lord spoke to me. I wasn't even thinking about it. I don't think much about that anymore. I mean, that's their business. You know what I'm talking about? But somebody left the church, and not everybody that leaves is because of some other wrong reason. You understand? But this particular occasion, I knew they were just, you know, well, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Just, well, what does the Bible say? I didn't say what I said. I said what the Bible said. But anyway, and I just wasn't even thinking about it because that stuff rolls off of me now. I it's not that I don't care for people. It's just that I know whenever they're open-hearted and they're not, you know. Just. So I was just minding my own business, walking up the steps, and the Lord said, And I wasn't even thinking about it. And the Lord said, I send people where they can get their help months and sometimes years in advance. And I send them to where if they're going to be under attack of the physical, in their physical body, I'll send them to a place where they can get the healing word and the healing anointing that's on your life, sometimes months and years in advance, to prepare them for what's coming against them. And that's why I sent them to your fellowship. And that's, and they didn't see that. And they thought something else that they needed was more important than what I really sent them there for. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about it, but the Lord wanted to teach me how he does things. Yeah. He'll get you ready. Yeah. Well, why do you have to go over it and over and over it again? Something's coming. Yeah. Pastor, don't say that. I don't want it to come. Whether you say it or not, it's coming. You're in this world. The enemy's here, and he's going to try to take some things out. Jesus didn't say, don't say that you'll ever have tribulation. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he didn't put a period there either. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we read later, this is the victory that causes us to overcome the world, even our faith. Amen. Well, I want fellowship groups. I want to be able to fellowship. We have fellowship groups. But see, totally blinded to why God sent them here. Fellowship group won't keep you alive. The Word will. The Word will. The Word will. The Word will. Well, we just answer it. Tell your neighbor, we're just answering it. Praise the Lord. Now, but you won't be able to stand against the enemy with it as an empty vessel. You don't have the Word in you. You're not constantly renewed by fellowship with God and the Spirit. So part of taking a victorious stand against the devil is to be constantly filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. And let greater one rising up on the inside of you. Glory to God. Continual renewal of your spirit comes by spending time in God's presence in prayer, feeding on his word. And when you wait before God, you'll not only be refreshed and renewed in the inner man, but it'll also affect your physical body. And you'll get invaluable direction for whatever Satan's going to throw at you. And so you're ready whenever he comes. You're like, I got it. God has already been talking to me. Well, I didn't know why he's talking to me about this in my prayer time, but he's been having me go back over it, and now I realize why. Ha, 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 ha. I'm ready. Ready for anything, equal to anything. Not because I'm so smart, but because of the greater one was given an opportunity to get across to my spirit what I needed for what he knew was coming. Woo! I love him, I love him, I love him. Don't you appreciate that about him? The life of God that came into your spirit in the new birth, along with all its qualities and attributes and forces, can be maintained and must be maintained by constantly feeding that on what develops him, the Word and fellowship with God and so forth and so on, and also exercising spiritually. Praise God. Well, I'm about out of time. Can you take just a little bit more? So practice the lifestyle of ministering to your spirit. Practice the lifestyle of giving him what he wants. Amen. He wants the bread of life. He wants the fellowship of God, with God. He desires that because, why? It makes him strong. It makes him strong. So practice that lifestyle. Be a person who is continually edified in your spirit. And that you constantly maintain the condition of your spirit. The Bible said, guard your heart. Proverbs 4. And so you and I are to take care of our spirit man and that condition of that man on the inside. Amen? Amen. So like I said, can we wrap some things up here before we go? Sometimes spiritual people, they get under attack and they just start thinking, well, I just need to do spiritual battle against the enemy in this area. But if they're spiritually weak, they may go through all the motions, but nothing's coming out of them spiritually to really conquer the enemy. Because you're not conquering him by your ability. Something has to come out of you from God. Because God and him met, and Jesus, God, I'm talking about God, Jesus. God and him met, and Jesus whooped him.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And whenever he comes against you, he needs to encounter that same power that whooped him back there 2,000 years ago. You're no match for him in your own ability. Amen. And besides that, with the spiritual battle that come when every kind of test or trial, any kind of test or trial comes, is much easier won whenever you're strong. Great wrestlings come out of weakness. You got to know that. Sometimes they come to me and I got all these tests and trials and all of this is coming against me and I'm so busy and I look at them and I say, that devil's got you, hadn't he? What? No. He sure has, because you're overwhelmed by all these things. Obviously, you have gotten weak. And your whole focus and all your attention is on all your tests and trials. Yeah, but I have them. You want to ask about mine? I'm just strong enough to not let it overcome me. It's spiritual pride that goes around talking about how hard your life is, as if nobody else has anything hard to deal with. Yeah, but there's nobody's going through anything like I've gone through. Lie. Just because they don't talk about it doesn't mean they're not going through it. It's just that you're weak. Can I finish this up? There's no temptation taken you or I, but such as is common to man.
That's right.
Amen. It keeps whooping you because you're weak. And that's why you're talking about how big it is and how bad it is and how hard it is and how the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. It's because he's got you right where he wants you. You're weak. Can I go ahead and finish? Think about a couple of verses. Let me just quote these to you. Romans 8:31 is the first one. It says, I got to turn to it. If you want to turn, fine, but I'm going to go kind of quick here. Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say to these things? And then later Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What shall we say to these things? I believe, if I remember right, it was Jacob in the Old Testament. Yeah, it was Jacob. He had, one of his sons was, there were several of his sons. Remember, they were, his older brothers went down to Egypt to get corn. But Joseph was already missing. He thought Joseph had died. Actually, he's down in Egypt, you remember. But he thought he was dead because his sons lied to him. And then they went down to get corn in Egypt because of the famine. And what was it, Simeon or one of the older boys, Joseph in disguise, them not knowing it was Joseph, tested them out to see if they were telling the truth and kept Simeon back, was it, or one of the older boys? I can't remember which one it was. So they had to go back to their father and say he wouldn't let Simeon come back. We'll just say it was Simeon. And then they were sent back by Joseph to say, if you're really telling me the truth that you have a younger boy, was it Nathaniel or Benjamin, thank you, Benjamin, then send Benjamin. I think you're spies, and see, he's just tested them. And so Jacob hears all this, and he said, Joseph is not, and now Simeon is not, and now they're coming for Benjamin, and he said, all these things are against me. Genesis 42, let me give you the verse. Genesis 42:36. All these things are against me. Actually, they were working for him. So here's a man that said something about all these things. What shall we say to all these things? Paul said, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. But then you've got Acts 20:24, where it says, none of these things move me. You got to ask yourself the question, what have I been saying about all these things? What you've been saying, listen, reveals strength or weakness. Weakness says, it's just overwhelming me. It's just, if it's not one thing, it's another. I'm just so tired of just always being in trouble in my home and always weak. And the devil runs to that. He hears that whine and he hears weakness. He goes, aha, because he's a predator.
Yeah.
And predators take advantage of weakness. In the wildlife world out there, predators take advantage of weakness. That's how you can take advantage of them. Make a squealing rabbit sound. Here comes the coyote. Pow, gotcha. Because he was coming in for an easy meal because he hears weakness. And when the devil hears, hey, this one thing is not another, and it's so hard, and my children are always my job, and this, and the finances, and my husband's always, he don't want to come to church, and hang on, that wine, you hear that wine? Do you hear that wine? Is there any joy in that? No, it sounds like a complaint.
Sure does. Amen.
Just keep looking straight ahead. We won't know who it is. There's a complaint in that. There's no joy in it, so we know you're weak because the joy of the Lord's your strength. Since there's no joy coming out, we know you're weak. And the devil knows you're weak. Huh? If you find yourself there, that is not a, in other words, there is a way of escape out of that. You are not destined. I'm almost done. I know some of you are like, your internal clock is saying, it's time to quit, Pastor. Well, just hold on. There is a cure to that condition. This that we preach at Spirit of Faith is called the strong man's gospel. Where we always triumph. You can be weak if you want, but you don't have to be weak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it reveals strength or weakness. When you start enumerating all your tests and trials and you start telling everybody you meet all you're going through and how busy you are and I just got so much going on. I can't get to church. I know, weak. And the devil's got you exactly where he wants you. Well, I just signed up to get saved. I didn't sign up for all these tests and trials. Weakness sounds like weakness to me. What have you done since you got saved to be strong and overcome that wine? You want some cheese with that wine? I couldn't resist. I could have resisted that, but I guess I was weak. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. You ever read that? you end up saying what's really going on inside. Praise the Lord. What is another sign of weakness is by saying all those things that you have to do and go through and all the troubles and tests and trials, your attention has gotten on those circumstances rather than the greater one on the inside of you, and you've not been in his presence taking in of his strength. Because you take in of his strength, by the time you're done in the presence of God, which some people never get done, they just 5 minutes bop, bebop in and bebop out. But you need to get in there until something rises up on the inside of you. Someone rises up on the inside. And you don't come out with a whine. You come out like, where's the devil? Let me show you. Where's he at? Where's he at? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, weakness doesn't hold your attention. The Bible says that Abraham was because he was strong in faith, he considered not his own body. Did you get that? Strength keeps your attention on the right things. Weakness doesn't hold your attention on the right things. Oh, I'm just now getting started. Can we finish this though? In the Cold War, we won by strength. We just outspent them. We crushed them. The USSR. We crushed them by outspending them. They couldn't keep up. And you'll win every battle in life as well by continually taking in an ever-increasing measure of spiritual strength by waiting on the Lord, feeding on his word. Amen. Talking about all your problems and trials, you're wrestling with them rather than resting in the work of the greater one, working it all out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. Spiritual strength is discernible. Look at yourself in the mirror. I'm not getting on to you. I've looked at myself in the mirror before and I wait, what's wrong with you? Look at that. Look on your face. And I stand there and I go, hey, you got the victory. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you. Ha, 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 ha. Cheer up. You can talk to yourself. Tell your neighbor you can talk to yourself. If you're weak, you start winning less battles. because you just don't have the strength anymore in your spirit to stand up and resist what the enemy's doing. Well, I just want him to leave me alone. Here's a newsflash. He's not going to do it. You're just going to have to not stop praying. You're going to have to stop praying he leaves you alone and just start rising up through the greater one on the inside of you and whoop him and whoop him and whoop him and whoop him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Glory be to God. Let's all stand up. We always triumph. We constantly are coming off with victory after victory. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like all the noise in our church. I mean, why don't people just sit and quietly receive? Get over it. Get the victory over it.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.